Gastronomist is about bringing the fast food industry into the 21st century by developing a range of smart automated solutions which tackle modern bottlenecks in commercial kitchens.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Robot Industry Podcast. We're glad you're here and thank you for subscribing. I'm Jim Beretta, and our guest for this edition is Christian Tesbazian. Now, I know Christian from a project that I did with the Canadian Food Innovation Network, and it's called Seeing is Believing, Robotics in Action. And I will put that video in the show notes today. Welcome to the podcast, Christian.
Jim, thanks so much for having me. That was a real fun day. And really happy we could connect. You know, you do great things for this business, for this industry. And excited to be here with you.
So you are co-founder and COO of Gastronomist, located in Greater Toronto area. Can you tell our audience a little bit about that, a little bit about you? And of course, you left university too to start Gastronomist. Yeah. So I know that from our video that we did. So tell us a little bit about that and about you.
I might not have completed my undergrad degree, but a lifelong learner. And like any business, I mean, we have an interesting background. So my partners, Kavork and Andrew, they come from the automotive business. So they bring 20 plus years of experience in starting and growing and eventually selling a very innovative tier two automotive manufacturing company. And with that, they bring a lot of expertise and knowledge around developing reliable, robust, cost-effective, efficient, automated systems. And that is our bread and butter, working with our customers to develop the automation which they need in order to be a successful business. And on my end, I'm a young guy, but you know, really have loved this business. Can't imagine doing anything else. I was at a well-known university here in Canada called the University of Waterloo, where I was studying computer science. So I did my 8 months. I gave it a try. No one can say I didn't. And 8 months into it, you know, began working on this with Kavork and Andrew. And that's how it started. Never looked back and zero regrets.
And so how did you decide on food and automation? And I know that we haven't really introduce what Gastronomist does yet, but did you get kind of focused on food?
You know, every great and successful business at the end of the day needs to solve a real life issue, a market. There needs to be a pressing market need. And like I said, our bread and butter is automation. So we began looking at and speaking with individuals and exploring that, okay, what are industries today in need of new technology? And you know, quickly it became apparent that the restaurant industry, specifically the fast food sector, is really lacking that expertise and know-how. And with that said, I mean, we met the right people and we made the decision that okay, this is really a great opportunity to start something new and develop a revolutionary technology which is going to make 500 or a million restaurants off for the better.
So can you tell us a bit about Gastronomist? What do you actually make?
Yes. So, I mean, I think that it's wrong, not wrong, but you know, individuals who might not know this space so well, when they first speak about food robotics or food technology, they group all companies into one pool of things. And I don't think that encompasses the differences that we all have, because there's a lot of different avenues in food technology. There's front of house, there's back of house, there's a million different ways you can go about it. Here at Gastronomist, the vision which we have in which we are pursuing is that we consider ourselves smart automated kitchen equipment manufacturers and suppliers. And really, we are developing what we call the puzzle piece approach. So essentially, we're going out and developing a fully automated smart fryer or grill or dispensing machine or fridge or you name it. And rolling that one piece of automation out, solving an immediate need, making sure that we hit the nail on the head, gaining that trust and confidence with our customers. And on the flip end of things, working on that second, that third, that fourth piece, so that in the end, like puzzle pieces, they all fit together, and that's how you get your full kitchen automation. We're here to deliver ROI. I mean, robotics, I think it's cool, but like any facade, after you see it a few times, it might die out. So our selling proposition is not that robots are going to increase your sales because it's a great kind of marketing thing. That will be part of it at the beginning. But our selling proposition is, hey, our pieces, our equipment is going to provide reliability, which you just can't currently get, superior taste profile. It's going to help you better distribute your labor force. I mean, right now they can't find anyone. There's no shortage of jobs to do in a kitchen. So that's really why we are here. It's our raison d'être, you could say.
Thank you for that. And so, of course, this is not a visual medium. We have to depend on all of our listeners.
Beautiful voices.
Voices, absolutely. So when I first saw Gastronomist, I saw two robots in a kitchen with pots cooking pasta. So yeah. that's your showpiece part, would
yes,
you say?
Yes, exactly. That's not really along the lines of what we're working on. In the coming months, we're going to be releasing one or two products and begin testing it here in the greater Toronto area. So we're quite, let's say, under the wraps right now. But in a few months, the world will see what we've spent the past year and a half so diligently working on. And yes, it's quite different from the pasta solution. That's a great show. And what that solution really, I mean, it served its purpose, which is that it got people interested and allowed us to begin having those preliminary discussions to better learn about our customers' businesses and to really then begin exploring, okay, what are commercial solutions which we can develop and bring to market?
So what is the market for automated? I was going to ask a question, what is the market for automated robot chefs? But really it's about the market for automation within commercial kitchens, right?
Yes. I mean, look, today there I would say that there's so many different avenues in the, let's say, food space. Right now, if you look at the distributors, so you look at big warehouses where they roll in tons of potatoes and they cut them up and they bleach them and they do that on a daily basis. That's already automated. It's much like a Coca-Cola factory or any packaging factory. Those have experienced automation. The part in the supply chain which has yet to have any automation, and reason I think is because it's just extremely difficult. It requires new technology, a new way of thinking. But now it has come to a time of fruition where it needs automation. Is the brick and mortar location? So bringing in all of your, you know, raw meats and this and that in an actual, let's say, McDonald's or Burger King or whatever physical store, working on new solutions to cook those products to then deliver to the customer. That's where we're focused.
So who are your bullseye clients?
Look, I mean, when you talk about that last cooking step, there's a lot of different types of clients. There's clients who are, like I said, the Burger Kings and the McDonald's of the world, so fast food restaurants. There's hospitals, there's cafeterias, there's big box retailers, there's grocery stores, there's a number of different clientele. But you got to really, we believe, hone down, focus on one, because each kind of requires a different type of solution. So for us, our bullseye clients at the moment are those fast food chains who are there to get an order out in 90 seconds and things along those lines.
And when you're diving into this new realm of automation, partnerships are really important here. Can you tell us a little bit about some of these partnerships you might have? And you can also talk about Canadian Food Innovation Network as well.
For sure. So the two partnerships which I can, let's say, publicly disclose because they've been mentioned already in the news is our partnership with Recipe Unlimited, which is Canada's largest restaurant group. They have around 1,500 locations. They were formerly Cara Foods, so really a jewel in the Canadian restaurant space. Very well known. They have some of the our country's most iconic QSR and fast food brands. So they're an absolute great customer of ours and a fantastic team. In addition to that, we're working with Sodexo Canada, Sodexo being the world's largest food services group. Again, a tremendous team. And Sodexo, they served my high school, and they also served my university. So I have good experience with Sodexo food. So that's who we're working with, like I said, that I can publicly disclose. Canada is a great place. I mean, we have a tremendous amount of government support. You know, we always try and do our best at innovating to stand out on the world stage, because we're not a large country by numbers, but we have some of the best minds and talent in the world. So couldn't be happier to be a Canadian business. And no, CFIN is an absolutely, you know, it's a testament to that and Canada's dedication to have new innovation and new technologies. And our partnership with CFIN really allows us to deliver on what's promised. And it provides that support needed between making a good product and a great product. So really, really couldn't be happier with where we are today.
And what are the motivators of your prospect customers? So your fast food restaurants, which are kind of lowest hanging fruit, if you like.
Yeah. I think the motivators, you know, when you got to shut down your store because you don't have people to work, or where no matter what processes you put in place, you're still not getting that consistency you need. Like I said earlier, every great business starts with the voice of the customer. And it starts with market challenges and the need to address those issues. And I think COVID kind of brought all of those challenges. You know, it was trending right below the waterline, and COVID brought it up. It brought up all of the challenges which face our customers. And I don't think that, you know, after COVID now they're going to go away. I think it's great. I mean, it's very apparent, and customers are really thinking and wanting new things. So it's a great collaboration.
And you're taking this modular approach to automation, right? Which is kind of the hard way. Like, you could come up with a standard product and try to cram that into people's kitchens, but you're taking this really unique, hard approach where you're automating different sections of a kitchen. Can you tell our audience about that?
Yes, for sure. So I think that a lot of startups these days forget that they're also a business, and that you need to develop great technology, but you also need to develop technology which is commercially viable and which you can get out there and begin generating some good cash flow. So a few things there, Jim. Number one, restaurants are not used to automation. They don't know automation. They're green to automation.
Yep.
So the selling proposition of going in and saying, hey, I can automate everything at once, you got to put your full trust and reliability in this unproven technology, it's very daunting. And I would be as well if I was in their shoes. So by going out and doing kind of that micro automation, focusing on one particular challenge, it gives customers that breathing room to know that, okay, we're starting with one thing. You begin to gain their trust, develop a really strong working relationship. Number two, you know, it allows us to focus on a particular thing and put all of our efforts towards making the best solution possible for that task. So we're not trying to bite off more than we can chew at once. And it allows us to gain as well infield restaurant experience, so many different things. Rome wasn't built in a day, and full kitchen automation isn't going to be built in a day either. So yeah, that's the foundation of where our head's at.
And so one of the things, you're right about automation in restaurants, right? It would be a very slow industry, it appears, but now you have the opportunity to connect Industry 4.0 and
exactly.
IoT.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I personally think that to provide the most value for our customers, it's going to require collaboration between different companies in the space, meaning that it's going to require collaboration between POS companies, between kitchen equipment companies like ourselves, between third-party logistics and inventory management. Everyone is going to collect such a tremendous amount and useful amount of data where, hey, it can work great alone, but it can be so, so much powerful if tied together and acting together. So I think that down the line, you know, we'd love to form a consortium where we can do that.
And you've had a lot of interest from around the world. And what gets you most excited about the technology?
Working with a great team and bringing technology which is yet in the market. I mean, we're in a very interesting place where we can't look at existing companies and say, hey, what have they done? Try and learn from there. We are developing new technology, but a new industry as a whole. Like I said, there's relatively no sort of kitchen automation today. So having that blank sheet approach and allowing your mind to just run wild, it's fascinating. And it definitely gets your adrenaline up.
Yeah, I think of all the connectivity to supply chain and all those,
right?
And everyone else, Health Canada or whoever the health agency is, yep, in the region. I think it's very, very exciting for sure.
Yep.
Once you've had all this data created, now you have the opportunity to help restaurants be better through using technology such as AI. Is that on the blackboard?
Yes, big time. And that's going to come in. So that's going to be a continuous improvement, like everything is. And that's going to come in multiple different phases. I mean, that can be an inventory management, number one.
Yep.
I'm no expert in AI, so I'm not here to preach. But AI is, I think, it's better than anything in crunching numbers. So, it's very hard for restaurants today to judge how many tomatoes should we order, how much lettuce should we order, so that we don't have any food waste after 3 days when the expiry ends. So I think that now knowing all of that data, that's going to really help there. Also on the operations side, I mean, a lot of restaurants today struggle. Everyone would like to do cook to order, meaning that Jim goes, orders a burger or whatnot, and just as you place your order, the burger freshly comes off the grill. But again, that's very, very difficult to manage and judge today. So with all of those different data sets and all of this new piece of smart technology, I definitely think that that's in the horizon.
And what, when you talk to your prospective clients, are you having the ROI discussion? Are they telling you what
that's the first discussion?
Is it?
That's the first discussion. Oh yeah, that's the first discussion.
So they're telling you about the labor problems, because everything I hear is labor, it's food waste, it's optimization of resources, it's
for
maintenance.
Sure. Yeah. That's they're a business, right? And they're there to maximize their business and to get their bottom line as big as they possibly can, and rightfully so. So, of course, I mean, all of those challenges which we're describing translate to a smaller bottom line and things along this line. So, yeah, we're there to alleviate those issues, and ROI comes in multiple different factors. What a lot of people find surprising is that what we have heard, the biggest selling proposition a gym is consistency. And I'll give a quick example. Let's say after this podcast, say, hey, I mean, if we were in person, let's say, I'd say, Jim, let's go grab a bite to eat. And we go to, I don't know, Gastronomous Burgers down the street. And Gastronomous Burgers gives us a really undercooked or overcooked burger. We are never going to Gastronomous Burgers again.
Yep.
But if you keep on giving to the customer a great tasting, juicy burger or pizza or wings or what have it, that is 10, 20, 30, 50 lifetime repeat business. And that's kind of hard to quantify into an exact number, but restaurants know the value that has. And that's definitely a big, they love it. They love it.
And I see so many opportunities, especially with things like we have an allergy in the house, right? So, you know, there's something right there.
Customization, you want less salt, more salt, you want rare, medium, rare. I mean, the possibilities, Jim, are endless. They're endless. So
I do have a question for you about challenges. So you've gone down this, you've been working at this for a while. Have there been some super big challenges that you've had to overcome that were like, wow, this is a big one?
For sure. For every accomplishment, there's 99 challenges. But you got to address those challenges well to make a good accomplishment. Most definitely there has. Like I said, this is new technology, new type of technology. So there isn't a lot of previous data or examples to reference. So it's great having a white sheet, but that also means that, you know, you're going to make a lot of errors. And errors are not bad. I always tell our team, let's make, you know, let's not be put down when we make an error, as long as we learn from that error, and how can we improve, and how can we do better. So it's keeping your head up, it's working hard but smart, it's making sure that you are always speaking with the customer, keeping your eyes open, getting different opinions, not kind of being focused on one mindset. And there's definitely been a lot of obstacles along the way.
So have we forgotten anything for here? Is there anything that you might want to talk about with our audience?
I would say this: if there's any restaurant groups or anything listening, or anyone who's interested in this space at all, I mean, we're a growing team, and even if you're an engineer, please reach out. I love speaking with people, meeting new people. Whether or not there's even anything for us to do together now, that's not an issue. Love to meet new intelligent people every day. And there's a lot of companies in this space, every new ones every day. And let's see what happens in a few years' time. I think we'll go for that burger gym and that pizza. And the way it's made is going to be a lot different than today.
Absolutely. And hey, Christian, just want to ask you a personal question. What do you like to do when you're not building automated food systems for commercial use?
I'm a Formula One fanatic. So I love Formula One. I've always loved Formula One. I used to go-kart when I was a kid. It's become really popular now with these Netflix documentaries and so forth and so on. But I'm an OG. I know all the old school guys. So I'm a big fan there. Like spending time with family and friends, reading history primarily. And I have a motorcycle, so I know I like riding my motorbike on a early Saturday morning. It's pretty cool. And doing things like this, Jim. You're a great guy, and everyone listening, this Jim Beretta, he's done a lot for this space, and I'm really pleased and fortunate to be on this podcast.
Hey, thanks, Christian. And how can people get a hold of you if they've kind of found out and they want to reach out?
I would say LinkedIn is probably the best way. If you just Google my name or search my name on LinkedIn, I should be right there. So please reach out, and we can take it from there.
And that's Christian Tazbazian.
Christian Tazbazian, KristianTazbazian.
Our sponsor for this episode is Ehrhardt Automation Systems. Ehrhardt builds and commissions turnkey solutions for their worldwide clients. With over 80 years of precision manufacturing, they understand the complex world of robotics, automated manufacturing, and project management, delivering world-class custom automation on time and on budget. Contact Ehrhardt Automation to see what Ehrhardt can build for you. And I'd like to acknowledge A3, the Association for Advancing Automation. They are the leading automation trade association for robotics, vision and imaging, motion control and motors, and the industrial artificial intelligence technologies. Visit automate.org to learn more. And I'd like to thank our friends at Painted Robot. They build and integrate digital solutions. So they're a web development firm that offers SEO, digital and social marketing, and can set up and connect CRM and other ERP tools to unify marketing, sales, and operations. And if you'd like to get in touch with us at the Robot Industry Podcast, you can find me, Jim Beretta, on LinkedIn. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Be safe out there. Today's podcast was produced by Customer Attraction Industrial Marketing, and I'd like to recognize my nephew, Chris Gray, for the music, Jeff Bremner for audio production, my business partner, Janet, and our sponsor, Ehrhardt Automation Systems.